5th March. Dear Daddy Long Legs. There is a March wind blowing, and the sky is filled with heavy, black moving clouds. The crows in the pine trees are making such a clamor. It's an intoxicating, exhilarating, calling noise. You want to close your books and be off over the hills to race with the wind. We had a paper chase last Saturday over 5 miles of squashy cross country. The fox, composed of 3 girls and a bushel or so of confetti, started half an hour before the 27 hunters. I was one of the 27, 8 dropped by the wayside, we ended 19. The trail led over a hill, through a cornfield, and into a swamp where we had to leap lightly from hummock to hummock. Of course, half of us went in ankle deep. We kept losing the trail, and we wasted 25 minutes over that swamp. Then up a hill through some woods and in at a barn window. The barn doors were all locked and the window was up high and pretty small. I don't call that fair, do you? But we didn't go through, we circumnavigated the barn and picked up the trail where it issued by way of a low shed roof onto the top of a fence. The fox thought he had us there, but we fooled him. Then straight away over 2 miles of rolling meadow, and awfully hard to follow, for the confetti was getting sparse. The rule is that it must be at the most 6 feet apart, but they were the longest 6 feet I ever saw. Finally, after 2 hours of steady trotting, we tracked Monsieur Fox into the kitchen of Crystal Spring, that's a farm where the girls go in bobsleighs and hay wagons for chicken and waffle suppers, and we found the 3 foxes placidly eating milk and honey and biscuits. They hadn't thought we would get that far, they were expecting us to stick in the barn window. Both sides insist that they won. I think we did, don't you? Because we caught them before they got back to the campus. Anyway, all 19 of us settled like locusts over the furniture and clamored for honey. There wasn't enough to go round, but Mrs. Crystal Spring, that's our pet name for her, she's by Ritza Johnson, brought up a jar of strawberry jam and a can of maple syrup, just made last week, and 3 loaves of brown bread. We didn't get back to college till 6:30, half an hour late for dinner, and we went straight in without dressing, and with perfectly unimpaired appetites. Then we all cut evening chapel, the state of our boots being enough of an excuse. I never told you about examinations. I passed everything with the utmost ease, I know the secret now, and am never going to fail again. I shan't be able to graduate with honors though, because of that beastly Latin prose and geometry freshman year. But I don't care. What's the odds so long as you're happy, that's a quotation. I've been reading the English classics. Speaking of classics, have you ever read Hamlet? If you haven't, do it right off. It's perfectly corking. I've been hearing about Shakespeare all my life, but I had no idea he really wrote so well, I always suspected him of going largely on his reputation. I have a beautiful play that I invented a long time ago when I first learned to read. I put myself to sleep every night by pretending I'm the person, the most important person, in the book I'm reading at the moment. At present I'm Ophelia, and such a sensible Ophelia. I keep Hamlet amused all the time, and pet him and scold him and make him wrap up his throat when he has a cold. I've entirely cured him of being melancholy. The king and queen are both dead, an accident at sea, no funeral necessary, so Hamlet and I are ruling in Denmark without any bother. We have the kingdom working beautifully. He takes care of the governing, and I look after the charities. I have just founded some first-class orphan asylums. If you or any of the other trustees would like to visit them, I shall be pleased to show you through. I think you might find a great many helpful suggestions. I remain, sir, yours most graciously, Ophelia, Queen of Denmark. 24th March. Maybe the 25th. Dear Daddy Long Legs. I don't believe I can be going to heaven, I am getting such a lot of good things here, it wouldn't be fair to get them hereafter too. Listen to what has happened. Jerusha Abbott has won the short story contest, a $25 prize, that the monthly holds every year. And she's a sophomore. The contestants are mostly seniors. When I saw my name posted, I couldn't quite believe it was true. Maybe I am going to be an author after all. I wish Mrs. Lippitt hadn't given me such a silly name, it sounds like an authoress, doesn't it? Also, I have been chosen for the spring dramatics, as you like it out of doors. I am going to be Celia, own cousin to Rosalind. And lastly, Julia and Sally and I are going to New York next Friday, to do some spring shopping and stay all night, and go to the theater the next day with Master Jervy. He invited us. Julia is going to stay at home with her family, but Sally and I are going to stop at the Martha Washington Hotel. Did you ever hear of anything so exciting? I've never been in a hotel in my life, nor in a theater, except once when the Catholic Church had a festival and invited the orphans, but that wasn't a real play and it doesn't count. And what do you think we're going to see, Hamlet? Think of that. We studied it for 4 weeks in Shakespeare class, and I know it by heart. I am so excited over all these prospects that I can scarcely sleep. Goodbye, Daddy. This is a very entertaining world. Yours ever. Judy. P.S. I've just looked at the calendar. It's the 28th. Another postscript. I saw a streetcar conductor today with one brown eye and one blue. Wouldn't he make a nice villain for a detective story? 7th April. Dear Daddy Long Legs. Mercy. Isn't New York big? Worcester is nothing to it. Do you mean to tell me that you actually live in all that confusion? I don't believe that. I shall recover for months from the bewildering effect of 2 days of it. I can't begin to tell you all the amazing things I've seen. I suppose you know, though, since you live there yourself. But aren't the streets entertaining? And the people? And the shops? I never saw such lovely things as there are in the windows. It makes you want to devote your life to wearing clothes. Sally and Julia and I went shopping together Saturday morning. Julia went into the very most gorgeous place I ever saw, white and gold walls and blue carpets and blue silk curtains and gilt chairs. A perfectly beautiful lady with yellow hair and a long black silk trailing gown, came to meet us with a welcoming smile. I thought we were paying a social call, and started to shake hands, but it seems we were only buying hats, at least Julia was. She sat down in front of a mirror, and tried on a dozen, each lovelier than the last, and bought the two loveliest of all. I can't imagine any joy in life, greater than sitting down in front of a mirror, and buying any hat you choose, without having first to consider the price. There's no doubt about it, Daddy, New York would rapidly undermine this fine stoical character which the John Grier home so patiently built up. And after we'd finished our shopping, we met Master Jervy at Sherry's. I suppose you've been in Sherry's. Picture that, then picture the dining room of the John Grier home with its oilcloth-covered tables, and white crockery that you can't break, and wooden-handled knives and forks, and fancy the way I felt. I ate my fish with the wrong fork, but the waiter very kindly gave me another so that nobody noticed. And after luncheon we went to the theater. It was dazzling, marvelous, unbelievable. I dream about it every night. Isn't Shakespeare wonderful? Hamlet is so much better on the stage than, when we analyze it in class, I appreciated it before, but now, dear me. I think, if you don't mind, that I'd rather be an actress than a writer. Wouldn't you like me to leave college and go into a dramatic school? And then I'll send you a box for all my performances, and smile at you across the footlights. Only wear a red rose in your buttonhole, please. So I'll surely smile at the right man. It would be an awfully embarrassing mistake if I picked out the wrong one. We came back Saturday night and had our dinner in the train, at little tables with pink lamps and Negro waiters. I never heard of meals being served in trains before, and I inadvertently said so. Where on earth were you brought up? Said Julia to me. In a village, said I meekly, to Julia. But didn't you ever travel? Said she to me. Not till I came to college, and then it was only 160 miles and we didn't eat, said I to her. She's getting quite interested in me, because I say such funny things. I try hard not to, but they do pop out when I'm surprised, and I'm surprised most of the time. It's a dizzying experience, Daddy, to pass 18 years in the John Grier home, and then suddenly to be plunged into the world. But I'm getting acclimated. I don't make such awful mistakes as I did, and I don't feel uncomfortable anymore with the other girls. I used to squirm whenever people looked at me. I felt as though they saw right through my shem new clothes, to the checked ginghams underneath. But I'm not letting the ginghams bother me anymore. Sufficient unto yesterday is the evil thereof. I forgot to tell you about our flowers. Master Jervy gave us each a big bunch of violets and lilies of the valley. Wasn't that sweet of him? I never used to care much for men, judging by trustees, but I'm changing my mind. 11 pages, this is a letter. Have courage. I'm going to stop. Yours always. Judy. 10th April. Dear Mr. Richman. Here's your check for $50. Thank you very much, but I do not feel that I can keep it. My allowance is sufficient to afford all of the hats that I need. I am sorry that I wrote all that silly stuff about the millinery shop, it's just that I had never seen anything like it before. However, I wasn't begging. And I would rather not accept any more charity than I have to. Sincerely yours. Jerusha Abbott. 11th April. Dearest Daddy. Will you please forgive me for the letter I wrote you yesterday? After I posted it I was sorry, and tried to get it back, but that beastly mail clerk wouldn't give it back to me. It's the middle of the night now, I've been awake for hours thinking, what a worm I am, what a thousand-legged worm, and that's the worst I can say. I've closed the door very softly into the study, so as not to wake Julia and Sally, and am sitting up in bed writing to you on paper torn out of my history notebook. I just wanted to tell you that I am sorry I was so impolite about your check. I know you meant it kindly, and I think you're an old dear to take so much trouble for such a silly thing as a hat. I ought to have returned it very much more graciously. But in any case, I had to return it. It's different with me than with other girls. They can take things naturally from people. They have fathers and brothers and aunts and uncles, but I can't be on any such relations with anyone. I like to pretend that you belong to me, just to play with the idea, but of course I know you don't. I'm alone, really, with my back to the wall fighting the world, and I get sort of gaspy when I think about it. I put it out of my mind, and keep on pretending, but don't you see, Daddy? I can't accept any more money than I have to, because someday I shall be wanting to pay it back, and even as great an author as I intend to be, won't be able to face a perfectly tremendous debt. I'd love pretty hats and things, but I mustn't mortgage the future to pay for them. You'll forgive me, won't you, for being so rude? I have an awful habit of writing impulsively when I first think things, and then posting the letter beyond recall. But if I sometimes seem thoughtless and ungrateful, I never mean it. In my heart I thank you always for the life and freedom and independence that you have given me. My childhood was just a long, sullen stretch of revolt, and now I am so happy every moment of the day, that I can't believe it's true. I feel like a made-up heroine in a storybook. It's 2:15. I'm going to tiptoe out to post this off now. You'll receive it in the next mail after the other, so you won't have a very long time to think bad of me. Good night, Daddy. I love you always. Judy. 4th May. Dear Daddy Long Legs. Field day last Saturday. It was a very spectacular occasion. First we had a parade of all the classes, with everybody dressed in white linen, the seniors carrying blue and gold Japanese umbrellas, and the juniors white and yellow banners. Our class had crimson balloons, very fetching, especially as they were always getting loose and floating off, and the freshmen wore green tissue paper hats with long streamers. Also we had a band in blue uniforms hired from town. Also about a dozen funny people, like clowns in a circus, to keep the spectators entertained between events. Julia was dressed as a fat country man, with a linen duster and whiskers and baggy umbrella. Patsy Moriarty, Patricia Riley. Did you ever hear such a name? Mrs. Lippitt couldn't have done better, who is tall and thin, was Julia's wife in an absurd green bonnet over one ear. Waves of laughter followed them the whole length of the course. Julia played the part extremely well. I never dreamed that a Pendleton could display so much comedy spirit, begging Master Jervy's pardon. I don't consider him a true Pendleton though, any more than I consider you a true trustee. Sally and I weren't in the parade, because we were entered for the events. And what do you think? We both won. At least in something. We tried for the running broad jump and lost, but Sally won the pole vaulting, 7 feet 3 inches, and I won the 50-yard sprint, 8 seconds. I was pretty panting at the end, but it was great fun, with the whole class waving balloons and cheering and yelling. What's the matter with Judy Abbott?
She's all right.
Who's all right?
Judy Abbott.
That, Daddy, is true fame. Then trotting back to the dressing tent, and being rubbed down with alcohol, and having a lemon to suck. You see, we're very professional. It's a fine thing to win an event for your class, because the class that wins the most gets the athletic cup for the year. The seniors won it this year, with 7 events to their credit. The Athletic Association gave a dinner in the gymnasium to all of the winners. We had fried soft-shell crabs, and chocolate ice cream molded in the shape of basketballs.